we'll begin this prayer, this talk of the prayer in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, and is now, and shall be, world without end. Amen. May the Queen of all saints, pray in the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
All right, so this is part four of the six steps of learning how to live in the divine will. And this is something that, it's not just, a lot of people say, well, I've given my fiat, I'm living in the divine will. It's much more than that. And this is why this fourth step.
The fourth step is where we are today, most of us. The first three steps are to strip ourselves of everything, to really begin to die to our ego and our will, so that God's holy divine will can reign in us. And that's the thing that's so beautiful about this gift, is God frees us from ourselves. You know, I've talked to you about this before, but a lot of people, they just begin to talk, and it's all about themselves, and it's empty. It's really empty. The reason God created us is to glorify Him, to praise Him, to adore Him, to worship Him. And when we're thinking about ourselves, God is far from us. So Jesus shows us this. He says, through Mary, the Blessed Mother said, "The divine fiat said to me, 'I do not ask of you a fruit as with Adam. No, no, I ask for your human will.'" What does that mean? That means that we have to live in our nothingness. He must increase. We must decrease. "You shall keep it as you did, as if you did not have your human will. Under the empire of my most holy divine will, that shall be your life." Can you imagine? The holy divine will of God, it's the way Jesus lived, it's the way Mary lived, the new Adam and the new Eve. Jesus saying to us, "I want you to live as if you didn't have your human will, that you lived in my most holy divine will. And then you shall feel confident then under my empire of my divine will, that shall be your life. You shall feel confident to make you whatever it wants." So that God wants to make of us, this is what he says to Louisa, "I want to make of every human being a divine masterpiece." So each and every one of us is called by God to become a divine masterpiece. This is why we are different sizes, different shapes, we have different fingerprints, we have different irises, we have different voices, we have different colors. God loves the way he has created us. And he says, "I have created you so specifically that no one in the entire universe can love me the way you can love me." So this is what the divine will does. The divine will begins to teach us how to love God the way we're supposed to love God. When you think of the color red, think of a color, a red color. Each of us thinks a slightly different color, a slightly different tone, slightly different than the next person. Think of a red object. Each of us thinks of something different. Why? He loves our uniqueness. You know, people get jealous. The worst thing in the world is spiritual jealousy. Spiritual jealousy is deadly. Saul wanted to kill David. That's spiritual jealousy. We shouldn't be jealous of no one. What God has given to us, Jesus says, "I want you to reach perfection to the way I have given you this gift, this life, this cross of yours." And that's what he's asking of us. So it says very clearly, "You shall keep your human will as if you did not have it under the empire of" what? "Of God's most holy divine will. And that," God's holy divine will be your life. "And then therefore, God will feel confident to make of you what he wants." He wants you to become a divine masterpiece. because there's no jealousy for anybody or anything. Jesus is, this is what the Book of Heaven teaches you. The Book of Heaven teaches you to go within yourself to what? To find Jesus. The kingdom of God is within you, Jesus said. This breath, this ruah of God that breathed into Adam, what came out of the dust was the image and likeness of God. That's what God wants for us. And He is going to do it. Because He's God. All that He's asking of us to do is to allow Him to be our King, our Master, our Savior. To allow Him to teach us how to do this. So what has He done in these most difficult times? When it seems like everything's falling apart. He's given us the Book of Heaven. As you read the Book of Heaven, you are always happy. You're always happy. Why? Jesus is speaking to you as He spoke to Louisa. This is the gift He gave to Louisa, and He says to us, I want to give this to you if you want it. If you want it, it'll be yours. 30, 60, or 100-fold, whatever you want. Whatever degree you want. This should become our everything. So this is what happens. Our Lady said, so the supreme fiat took the fourth step in my soul. This is the Blessed Mother talking. Asking me, the Blessed Mother, for my human will as proof. Waiting for my fiat, for my acceptance of such a test. Then she says this, I, the Blessed Mother, want you to imitate your mother. I ask you as a mother, never to not deny anything to your God, even though they might be sacrifices that would last all your life. Did you know that every one of us has to make a sacrifice like Abraham? That's what God asks of us. This is the test He's asking. To give up what you love the most. What do we love the most? The word that we use most often. I did this and I thought that and I said this and I went there and I did this and I resolved that. God says, I want you to give that up. I, Jesus says, has to become you, Lord. Our focus must be on Jesus. He's our Lord, He's our Savior, He's our Master, He's our King. This is why the crucifix is so beautiful. That's our God taking our place. Dropping every drop of His blood. Shedding every drop of His blood. That was supposed to be our sacrifice. And even if we died the same death as Jesus, we still would not obtain heaven. Because it wasn't worthy enough. It wasn't a great enough sacrifice. So what He did is He took our place. He died on the cross for us. And He says, I've done everything for you. Now, I want to give you the kingdom. We had the time of creation. Then Jesus came through the kingdom of redemption. And now, Jesus says, now is the time for the kingdom of sanctification. The time of the third fiat. Our Lord loves us. He loves us so much. I mean, can you imagine? When you read the lives of the saints, what do they say? We want to live in those last days. It's not the end of the world. It's the end of the reign of Lucifer. It's the end of the reign of evil. So God has to say, what side are you on? And you can see that very clearly. It's either for God or against God. See, there's two types of worship. There's only one type of worship, and that is through a blood sacrifice. When the Protestants say, oh, we have great worship. No, you don't. You don't have sacrifice. True worship is sacrifice. We have the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Christ. at the holy sacrifice of the Mass. Satanists have their sacrifice. It's usually body and blood. It's either wars or abortion or diseases or horrible things that goes on. That's their worship of their evil one. Our job is to, this is why the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass is so important. Most people, most Catholics at this point, since there's been no public Masses, feel, I don't have to go to Mass. Don't be one of those people. God, they're telling God what they want. We have to say to Jesus, what do you want? The Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. This is what our God is doing. He's really asking us to give up our will, to live in His holy divine will. How glorious is that? How magnificent is that? So Our Lady says, I want you to imitate your mother. I ask you, as a mother, never to deny anything to your God, even though they might be sacrifices that would last all your life. Remaining in ever unwavering in the test that God asks of you. And He asks for your faithfulness. So what do you do on Sunday? Is it the Lord's Day? Or is it another Saturday? Another sports day? What do you do on Sunday? Just this simple thing. What do you do on Sunday? Is it the Lord's Day? And if it's the Lord's Day, you're being faithful. If it's not the Lord's Day, get back on track. Time is short. Listen to what Our Lady of Revelation said. Time is now coming to an end. It's not the end of the world. It's the end of this era. There's going to be two sides, one with God and one against God. Your faithfulness is the call of the divine designs upon you. It is the reflection of His divine virtues that, like many brushes, Jesus, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, makes of the soul the masterpiece of the Supreme Being. One can say that the test offers the raw material into the divine hands so that they may accomplish their crafting in that soul. God is going to do this. He says, get out of my way. Can you imagine, say for example, God has called you to be a canvas, and He stretches you, He paints you white, He gets you all ready to for His design that He's got in his magnificent mind. And you go, I want to be a sculpture. I don't want to be a painting. God goes, well, how can I accomplish what I have planned for you if you don't get out of my way and let me do this? What does it mean to get out of God's way? It means to say, Thea, let it be done to me as you say. That's the echo of Our Lady. That's the echo of Jesus. Not my will, but your will be done, Heavenly Father. Well, to get out of God's way is to say, yes. That's what fiat means, yes. Lord, you want to do something with me, in me, through me, for me, so be it. Let it be done as you wish. That word I, me, mine, has to leave us. It's not any good. When we say, you, Lord, Jesus, my Savior, my King, my God, you, Lord, I want what you want. That's the only thing that matters. That's the only thing that is essential for us. One can say that the test offers the raw material into the divine hands so that they may accomplish their divine crafting in the soul. God does not know what to do with a soul who is not faithful to the test. Not only this, but He, this is the soul, upsets the most beautiful works of God. God loves us so much. You've been to museums. You go to each section of the museum. There's something more interesting, more beautiful. That's what Jesus, He wants to show us off to the angels. He wants to show His children off. Look how beautiful. Look how magnificent this soul is. This soul allowed me to do this. when we read the book of heaven, you become more peaceful, more joyful, more happy. Why? Jesus is teaching you who he is and who we are. And so Our Lady says this, therefore, my dear child, be attentive. If you are faithful in the test, you shall make your Mama Mary happier. Do not cause me to be worried. Give me your word, and I, Mary, shall guide you. I will sustain you in everything as my own child. She took care of Jesus. See, the triumph of the Immaculate Heart of Mary is we become like her son. That's her triumph. This is the whole reason why she says, in the end, my Immaculate Heart will triumph. In the end, my children will be perfect. My children will look, they will resemble my son. That's what's coming. The new heavens and the new earth, and our God is asking us to get out of the way and let him do this. So how do we get out of the way? Again, it's fiat. Lord, what do you want me to do? Let it be done as you wish. I give you, my God, I give to you, my God, my human will. A prolonged sacrifice has the virtue and the strength to obtain great things from God. What's a prolonged sacrifice for us? A friend of mine was in a mental institution for 42 years until the mental institution closed and they took her IQ and she wasn't mentally deficient at all. She was greatly deformed. She used to walk down the street and the children would scream monster when she would walk. And one day I was complaining to her. And she said, you know, if you took your cross and put it in a pile and walked away from your cross and then the next day come back and pick up any cross there, she said, you would pick up your own cross. Because that's your life. She says, I don't want your life, and you don't want my life. Your life is your cross. Your cross is your life. And that's why it's very, very clear. A prolonged sacrifice, your cross that God has given you, has the virtue, has the strength to obtain great things from God. You have to become who God has called you to be. Our Lord loves us. He's not mean. He's not angry. He's a loving God. And that's why when I got going back to the book of heaven. When you read the book of heaven, he begins to teach us who we are and who he is. And I'll tell you, every time you read the book of heaven, you're happy. Why? I honestly believe that he takes us to heaven for a brief moment. Just to give us a taste of heaven. This is the word of God, Jesus Christ, speaking these words to us, and they are magnificent. They are magnificent. Volume 6, 617, 1904. My daughter, see how many things are said about virtue, about perfection, but they all end up in one single point. That is the consummation of the human will in the divine. See, the saints taught us how to do the will of God through prayer, fasting, penance, mortification. You know, it's really astonishing when we think about St. Maximilian Kolbe today. You put all the martyrdoms, all the sacrifices, all the mortifications of all the saints combined cannot compare to one eye blink of Luisa. When I first heard that, I go, what? All the martyrdoms? Why? Because that was a human doing the will of God in a saintly way, a good way, a holy way. What Jesus taught Luisa is to let Jesus breathe in her breathing, blink in her blinking, dance in her dancing, sing in her singing, the way he wanted Adam and all of Adam's children to live. So when you learn how to enter into the divine will, you take a breath That is the breath, if you wish, that Adam breathed in the beginning of creation. You let Jesus gaze in your gazing, listen in your listening, dance in your dancing, sing in your singing. It's not doing the will of God. It's living in the will of God that Jesus did not teach any of the saints. He taught this only to Louisa. How can he only teach this to Louisa? Why only Louisa? Those are Louisa's questions. As you read the book of heaven, Jesus begins to explain to her and to us why he waited so long. 2,000 years to bring the kingdom. He has great plans, and as you read, it's that wow of God. You go, oh, that's why you did this. Oh, now I can understand why I had to go through difficult things in my life. Why you, Lord, you have allowed me, you have blessed me to become Catholic, baptized in the Holy Catholic Church, receive the sacraments. You, Lord, did this for me. I don't deserve this. And Jesus says, I want to give you more. I want to fill you with my divinity as much as you want. That doesn't mean we become divine. He says that to Louisa. Louisa, you're nothing but a blade of grass. I will fill you to overflowing as much as you want. That's what he's saying to us as well. That's why the liberal and the holy divine will are happy. Why are they happy? Because God is reigning in them. God is reigning in them. He loves us so much. He loves us so much. He says this, so the more a soul is consumed, the more the soul can be said that it contains everything and is more perfect than everyone. You listen to, when you read John of the Cross, he talks about that burning log. You throw a log into the fire and that log becomes fire. It's the same thing Jesus says to Louisa. You enter into me, and the more that you enter into me, the more you become like me. This is the masterpiece that God has called you to become. A reflection of him, image and likeness of him. It's not just about being good and holy and saintly. It's to share in divinity. The priest says this every day at Holy Mass. May we share in divinity. Do you believe that? Do you really believe that, or are those just words? That should scream out to you. May we share in divinity as you humbled yourself to share in our humanity. Wait till you start reading the Divine Will. You read the Divine Will every day. If you have the calendar, read the calendar every day. A year from now, you're not the same person. You can't be the same person. Why? Jesus, the Word, is speaking to you constantly. He's breathing into you constantly. So you read it, you study it, and you put it into practice. And this is what God has done. In fact, all virtues, all good works are many keys that open the divine treasures and make one acquire more friendship, more intimacy, more commerce with God. That's why we're alive. But consummation alone is what renders the soul one with God and places the divine power in that soul's hands. And because of this, life must have God's will, one will, in order to live by living of the divine will, one with God, and then therefore one naturally takes ownership. That's why I said, you read this for a year every day, be alone with God every day, go to your room, close the door, and read. Let Jesus speak to you, and your whole life has changed. The whole world has changed. You see the world completely different. This is what God has planned for you. Volume 11, 10 to 19, 13. And when the human will unites to my most holy divine will, my life, Jesus says, is formed in the soul. Do you believe that? I believe it. I've seen it. When the human will unites to my volition, my most holy divine will, my life, Jesus says, is formed in that soul. You can't be yourself anymore. It's not about you. It's not about your family. It's not about your talent. It's about Jesus. See, the three powers that he gave us are intellect, memory, and will. He says, your intellect, you've got to begin to see things from a divine perspective. Your memory has to be of, that's why we pray the rosary. Your memory has to be of Jesus. What did Jesus do when he was 25 years old? I mean, when you really begin to think about this, he says, you want to know? Let me tell you. Let me take you with me. Let me show you the things of heaven. He's God. It's really astonishing. God, and then finally, our human will. We have to say to the Lord, I surrender my human will to you. This is why we're going through this fourth step. The fourth step is about the test. It's about the test that God is going to give us. And we agree to it. I agree to the test. I want to prove to you, Jesus, that I will not give up this great gift. I will not give it up. You give me the test, and I will pass it. That's what we're saying to Jesus. Give me the test. And watch how I will prove to you, Jesus, that you are my Lord, my Savior, my Master, my King, you're my God, you're my all. That's what we're going to discover this weekend. Volume 13, 11, 12, 1931. My divine will is eternal and is an eternal miracle that never ends. This is the divine miracle that God wants us to pray for. And that's the other thing that we're going to do this weekend. We're going to pray for a divine miracle because the world needs it. Why? The kingdom's coming. We got to get ready. The kingdom's coming. We got to get ready. For the human will to have a continuous connection with the divine will, this is the miracle of each instant. Raising the dead, giving sight to the blind, and the like are not eternal things. Everybody that was healed 100 years ago is dead. God wants divine healing. What is divine healing? To go back to where we were before the fall. To live that preternatural life that Adam had of integrity, impassibility, immutability, and mortality. To begin to live that divine life that the saints did not know when they were alive. Why didn't they know it? They did not have Louisa. They did not have Louisa. Jesus has predestined us to live at this time to give us Louisa. Wait till you discover Louisa. Wait till the world discovers Louisa. They are subject to everybody that was healed 100 years ago are subject to perishing. Therefore, they can be called shadows of miracles, fleeting miracles, compared to the great and permanent miracle of living in my most holy divine will. That is what's coming. We are going to pray for this. And we're going to begin to live this. Somebody said to me, how do I get this accomplished? I said, pray, ask for the grace, and instantly you have the grace. Instantly. That's our God. Now, what do you do with the grace? Most people say, well, I don't feel anything. I don't know if I have anything. God didn't answer my prayer. No, so did you pray for it. Jesus says, ask, believe that you received it, and it is yours. When you need something, you pray for the grace, and instantly you have that grace. And now what do you do with that grace? Are you faithful to what you're praying for, or do you give up? Most people give up. I didn't feel anything. You don't have to feel anything. Dogs feel things. To take a steak away from a dog, he'll bite you. Humans go on the truth. What is the truth? Jesus is the truth. And when you read the book of heaven, Jesus is speaking to you. He loves his kids. He says this. So he says, you pay no attention to those miracles. I know when they are appropriate and when they are needed. So here's Jesus saying, you know, what I'm looking for is divine miracles. I'm looking for to give to my children the life. Okay, let's just think of the DNA of Adam. What kind of DNA did Adam have? When Adam was walking in paradise, and the animals, the vegetables, the minerals looked at Adam and said, there is the one that resembles God. When Adam sinned, his DNA is now us. We get old, gray-haired, wrinkled, and we become food for worms. That was never part of God's plan. And Jesus says to Louisa, this is going to stop. My kingdom is coming. And what I'm going to bring to my kingdom is a new and divine way of holiness. Those are the words of Pope St. John Paul II. He said that. I was 30 feet away from him when he said that at the canonization of St. Audible de Francia. He says, get ready for a new and divine way of holiness. He said this in 2004. You can't believe how soon this is coming. There's no time. There's no time. Our Lady says that. You know, the devil has three things. He tries to convince us that he doesn't exist. He tries to convince us that hell doesn't exist. And then he says there's plenty of time. It's not true. Time is now coming to an end. And I'm not telling anybody, you know, panic. You know, it's, I don't know how many people this past week that I've heard died. Their time is over. For most of us, we're on the other side, if you want to say, of our life. And why? We're only here for a short time, and our time was to get to know Jesus. Our time was to be faithful to the church. Our time was to love the Blessed Mother, His Mother. And now He's saying to us, I'm going to give you the gift of gifts, the prodigy of prodigies. If you want it. I don't want to force you. If you want it. And we're going, gee, I got to wonder what I'm going to do in 20 years from now. We may not be here tomorrow. So Jesus is saying to us, and the Blessed Mother is saying to us, let me lead you into this kingdom. Let me prepare you for this kingdom. So this is what he says. In volume 14, 318, 1922. When the human will unites with the divine will, the two wills embrace and rest together. If the human love rises above all created things and loves only its God, what a beautiful rest do God and creatures find in each other. That is the seventh day. There's no seventh day in the book of in the Bible. It's the evening of the first day, the morning of the second day, the evening of the second day, the morning of the third day, but there's no morning or evening of the seventh day. Why? John Paul II told us, get ready for the third millennium. This is the beginning of the seventh day. What does he say? It'll be, get ready for the third millennium, the glory of the church, the new springtime of mankind. If you're reading the book of heaven, you got a glimpse of what he's talking about. If you're reading the book of heaven, it's all there. When the human will unites with the divine will, the two wills embrace and rest together. If the human love rises above all created things and loves only God, it's God. What a beautiful rest do God and creature find in each other. One who gives rest finds it. I, Jesus, make myself bed for her. I, Jesus, keep that soul in the sweet sleep. Clasped in my arms, therefore you, the one who's reading the book of heaven, come and rest in my bosom. It's an invitation. 5:14, 6:9, 19:22. Our divine will alone makes the man return to his first origin. Our divine will shall cast all the divine impressions into the human will and overwhelming one will within the other. I love this. It shall carry that soul on its wings into the arms of its creator. Not ugly, as sin rendered him, but pure, beautiful, similar to God. We're called to be in the image and likeness of God. See, the saints wanted to live at this time because they knew something great was going to happen. Saint Teresa, she wanted to be alive at this time. She knew God was going to do something. One of the saints said that what Jesus is going to do is even going to surprise his mother. You have to understand, we are living in really magnificent times. And our God is asking us. He's asking us just to sit down with him every day and listen to him. Therefore, I, Jesus, want you to receive all the impressions of my most holy divine will into yours, so that heaven and earth may recognize nothing but divine will alone, acting in you, by which they shall feel as though overwhelmed, and everyone, all the angels, all the saints, all shall receive the good of the divine operating in the soul who lives in my most holy divine will. Therefore, Jesus says, be ready in everything and be faithful to me. Get ready for what I'm going to do. Get ready. God has got this all planned, and he's planned for us to be alive at this time. He didn't have St. Francis and St. Clare alive at this time. It was not for them. It's for us. Why? He gave Louisa to us. You know, Father Bucci said that when Louisa was alive, they called her Louisa la Santa, Louisa the Saint. And Father Bucci said, the church will recognize one day that Louisa is the saint of the church. I can't wait to see what God is going to do. He loves us. He loves us so much. Okay, so if Jesus says, I want you to receive all the impressions of my divine will into yours so that heaven and earth may recognize nothing but divine will alone acting in you, by which all the angels, all the saints shall feel as though overwhelmed, and everyone shall receive the good of the divine operating in the soul and the divine will. Therefore, be ready in everything. Be faithful to me. God's got this planned. Volume 14, 7:28, 19:22. Expand your human will and mind. Nothing must escape you that is not caught in the net of your human will and mind. So, again, God's got this all planned. The divine will in me, my divine will in you, must blend together and must have the same interminable bounds and boundaries. But I, God, need that your human will be willing to extend within my most holy divine will, that not one thing created by me escaping. So that in all things, I, Jesus, may hear the echo of the divine will in the human will. What's the echo? It's fiat. Fiat. Why? So that I, God, may generate my likeness in that soul. Image and likeness. This is what God has planned. He's planned this. And we're in his plans. And he's going to win. But how much do we want this? 30, 60, or 100 fold? How much do we want this? I know some people that say, well, I can read a paragraph a week. Well, that's how much you're going to get. Because that's why Jesus is speaking to you. You're sitting down with him for a paragraph. If you really want this gift, sit down with him every day. Make that hour with Jesus a special hour with him. It's one of the reasons, you know, exposition of the Blessed Sacrament is so important. It's part of the life of a child in the divine will to be with Jesus every day. I remember when I was in the seminary when Bishop Sheen came in, and the seminary at that time was kind of crazy. And Bishop Sheen came into the chapel and he knelt for an hour in front of the Blessed Sacrament. I've never seen anything like that before. Everybody was running around trying to get ready for him, and there he was, kneeling, praying. I mean, he was in adoration with Jesus, not moving a muscle. I mean, God is asking us to be with him. And he's given us, I mean, one of the things we have is the internet, and if you want the Blessed Sacrament, go to Savior.org. You can be with Jesus every day if you wish. Or you can watch some, you know, trash on TV. Or you can be with Jesus. It's really up to you. See, you're saying to Jesus what you want. You know, just last week, I think it was Saturday. Or was it Sunday? I think it was Saturday. You know, Jesus came down from Mount Tabor. And he's with the apostles. And they saw this beautiful vision up there of Jesus, Moses, and Elijah. And Jesus came down and he said, television to no one. So I guess he doesn't want us to watch TV. So it's just a quick one there. Okay. So you could say that to the kids. Jesus said television to no one. Okay. Okay, I completely lost my place. Are we at the top of the page? Okay, thank you. I wanted to descend from heaven, taking on a humanity similar to Adam, the first man. In it, I enclosed all creation. I bound the human will of this holy humanity to the divine, so that this human will, embracing all creation and all their acts, bring it to my throne in this divine will as triumphant of all human acts, changed, see, this is what he's doing, changed by it into divine acts. We don't do divine things. Jesus, breathe in my breathing. You take a breath, that's Jesus breathing. He's doing it. Jesus walk in my walking. Jesus gaze in my gazing. Anything that you do, always call upon the divine will. Call upon Jesus to reign in you. And this is what he says. It's changed into a divine will, a divine act. With this, the human will took possession of the divine will and the divine of the human, and one lording over the other. In fact, when one being forms one single thing within another being, if one is Lord, the other two becomes Lord, though naturally. This is what God is expecting. He's tired of us doing things outside of his will. And he's given us an opportunity to let him do everything. I mean, let's just look at your family. If you're trying to live in the divine will, Jesus is in your family. He's gazing in your gazing. He's listening in your listening. He's smiling in your smiling. He's talking in your talking. Jesus is there. Can there be any disruption in your family? No, Jesus is there. That's why Jesus said, I want the divine will to reign in the midst of creatures. And what we'll get into tomorrow a little bit more is, he's asking us to be the yeast and our family is the flour. And he's saying, would you be able to bring leaven to your family? Would you be able to allow me, Jesus, to heal your family by me being there, not you anymore? Not the wild, crazy person. But you, Jesus, reign in me. You're going to see everything's going to change. Prayers that you've been praying for a long time are just going to be instantly answered in the divine will. Why? Jesus is doing it. This is so Catholic. This is the universal life that Adam had. And now God wants to give it back to us. Okay, so he says, this has been the only reason for which I, God, had commanded man to abstain from the fruit prohibited by me. I, God, wanted an act of sacrifice of this human will in my most holy divine will, so that by his sacrifice, binding his human will within mine, Adam might take possession of my divine will and I of his, and both might reign with the same divine power same divine wisdom of God. That's why he created Adam, to be in his image and likeness. Adam lost it. We have fallen. Jesus has redeemed us. Our Lady co-redeemed with Jesus. And now, because of Louisa, Jesus is saying, get ready for sanctification. The kingdom's coming. You can't get into the kingdom if you're not sanctified. You can't get into the kingdom. Jesus tells Louisa, we have to be separate from everything that's opposed to his holy humanity, or we go to purgatory to be purged of that. Once we're purged in purgatory of everything that's opposed to Christ's holy humanity, then you will begin to share in divinity, which the priest says every day at Holy Mass. Then we begin to share in divinity. God's got great plans, and he wants them now. He wants us to begin to live this now, because there's no more time. Our Lady told us this 73 years ago. I mean, look what's happening. Get ready. Great things are coming. Okay, so we'll end there, and we'll begin again tomorrow from this point. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Tomorrow at 10 o'clock, and then at 3 o'clock, and then at 6.